This is the Business Breakfast with Owanda on Jazz FM. Online trading, currency data, money transfers.
We must monitor coronavirus, Craig, unfortunately, once again. Jay Powell, the chairman of the Fed, has said, yes, last night, the Fed will soon be able to measure the effects of the coronavirus. I would imagine there are also people looking at ways in which they can profit from it. They look at companies which are going down at the moment. Look through the noise for us and tell us what you think's going on.
Yeah, it's kind of the unsavoury side, I guess, to these things, which is what always makes it so uncomfortable to kind of talk about, is that on the one hand, you're talking about this virus which is infecting thousands of people, now actually killing thousands of people, and obviously, naturally, people who work in this type of industry are trying to work out how it affects their money and how it affects their investments. And like you say, it's been a bit of a strange market in terms of how it's responded to this. The initial sell-off was quite vast and wide-ranging. The fear of what it could become really sent people into the kind of safe, into the arms of these kind of safe haven instruments, and the kind of panic set in. And then since then, it's actually become much worse than people were fearing at the time, and yet the markets just don't reflect that. We've got European stock markets at record highs, US stock markets at record highs. There are individual stocks within that have not fared so well, as you've alluded to, things that have been directly impacted. The likes of the airlines, the likes of the luxury retailers, etc. So investors may potentially sniff out an opportunity here for stocks that are effectively trading at a discount as a result of this.
You'd presumably be looking at healthcare stocks, wouldn't you, in a situation like this?
Yeah, they're the type of stocks that I think have done quite well already, to be honest, because I think we've talked about in the show before the mask companies, they saw their stocks surge initially because the demand, obviously, for these face masks was going to grow rapidly, whereas I guess if you're looking at this purely from a market's perspective, then the opportunity, you would think, potentially lies now in the stocks that are trading at a heavy discount as a result of this. You look at something like oil prices, for example. It's like I said, it's been really strange, the market reaction, because we've got stock markets at record highs, so clearly risk appetite hasn't been affected. It seems like the most accurate actual reflection of what how damaging this is and how bad it could become is actually in oil prices, because that's directly impacted by the impact on the knock-on effect on the economy rather than the economic impact being overshadowed by the fact that central banks can just come in and interest rates and keep stock markets elevated. So Brent crude prices, for example, have fallen, I think, more than 20% over the course, and it really has been like a straight line low. We've seen a bounce in the last day or two because we had those fewer reported cases, but then all you have to do is take one step back and look overnight, and it seems that with the change in methodology in terms of how cases are confirmed in terms of being clinically diagnosed, then all of a sudden these numbers are much higher than feared. But again, investors just seem to shrug these things off with incredible ease.
Absolutely. And they're looking at these things on a daily basis. They're guessing that economic activity won't be hit too much. Let's move to London and this continuing fight. Now, a lot of positioning going on here about the City of London, the financial services, UK financial services, access to the EU and to European markets. Is it a big issue as far as you're concerned, or is it just more Brexit noise?
Well, we have to remember, obviously, the services industry, the financial industry, is a huge part of the UK economy. It's been configured that way very intentionally, and it's grown over the course of a number of decades. And it's also massively a massive contributor to the tax purse each and every year. So it's not something that can be ignored. But also, it's going to be something that's going to ultimately depend on regulation. There needs to be alignment on the regulatory side in order for businesses to have this easy access to the EU as part of any future agreement. It's not going to be part of a trade deal per se. It's very much going to be part of the regulatory side. At this moment in time, Europe doesn't have an alternative which can compete with the UK in terms of its financial services offering and in terms of its ability to carry out all of the processes which happen mostly here in the City of London. So therefore, in the near term, the UK does have leverage. But what the UK wants to be careful not to do is almost be so difficult as a partner that you encourage Europe to find an alternative, which I'm sure it will naturally be looking at already. But we've obviously seen various cities across Europe competing for UK business, whether that's Dublin, whether it's Frankfurt, etc., competing for UK business. But you kind of get a sense that they're competing for parts of business that are effectively up for grabs. I can't imagine many of these will want to take on the responsibility that effectively comes with having a massive, well, the world's largest financial centre. It's all a case of incentive. If they're incentivized to do so, then they will be forced to do that. So it's a very careful balancing act.
Another cry of pain from a high street retailer. This is F. Hines, the family jewellery business, saying that business rates are too high and favour business parks. I'm not sure why that's a story, to be honest. I mean, we sort of know this, don't we? It's the way things are going. The high street is shrinking and local councils will have a lot to do, won't they, to try to reverse that process.
Well, I think it's one of these things where businesses have been constantly fighting this for years now, and it seems that government is not doing enough to support the high street. I know that we are in an evolving place right now with regards to how people shop, and you don't want to necessarily just fight that trend and throw bad cash after good. But at the same time, the high street is a hugely important part of society. And that's what these businesses are trying to say. And I think you have to constantly remind the public, you have to constantly have this out in the public if you are going to get anywhere on it, because quite clearly government isn't doing enough already to protect these businesses. And I think what this particular company and what a number of other ones that it's partnered up with, the point that they are trying to make is they're not necessarily saying we are concerned for those who are situated within these shopping malls or who are situated on these really busy high streets like Oxford Circus, for example. What they're concerned about is the smaller towns and villages where it no longer makes any sense for these companies to do business, where you are seeing stores close and where you are not at that critical mass anymore, which means that you're forced to move your businesses to busier areas. And what that does is it means that you get fewer of these kind of shopping districts, but that comes at the expense of local communities, and it also comes at the expense of those who are not as easily able to travel to the bigger towns in order to go shopping. So it's something that the government has to think about before it's too late, because we're kind of going down a road of irreversible damage here, and we've been talking about this for so many months, years at this point, and you can ask the question, has enough been done? And the answer is quite simply no.
Listening to the BP story, pressure from stakeholders and shareholders, it's going to be incredibly difficult, isn't it, to monitor that?
It's such a long time span, and I think the new CEO is saying everything that people want to hear right now. It's a hot topic, and we are speaking a lot more about it, and this is obviously one of the this is a major firm that in many people's eyes is kind of at the centre of the storm. You are literally producing the oil itself. Ultimately, it's ambitious, but it's where the world's heading. These companies have to look at these other options and have to or stay up, otherwise they're not going to be profitable in the future. We are moving to a world where the government wants to remove petrol and diesel sales of deep petrol and diesel cars and hybrid cars by 2035 or even 2032. Other countries have been even more aggressive, some less so, but have targets up to 2040. So if you are an oil and gas company, if you don't have an evolving strategy which involves a greener outlook, then you are going to be left behind, then you're not going to be paying those £8 billion dividends. I mean, ultimately, that's just the world that we now live in. But for me, is really encouraging right now is that this is a conversation which has really been at the forefront and in the headlines now for around a year, and we are still talking about it, and we are seeing companies now being pressured to do more, because this is something that, even though obviously climate change itself isn't a fad, it's very much an issue that we have to deal with, it is something that could have become a bit of a media fad for a short period of time, and then the kind of pressure taken off the companies to really take aggressive action. And the fact that we are still talking about it, the fact that companies are being pressured to do so, I think is extremely encouraging, because ultimately this is a massive problem that we do have to deal with head on.
What's your take on the Google story? I mean, mine is that lawyers will make an enormous amount of money, and maybe the consumers don't care. Apparently, they will when prices go up. Do you think that's ever going to happen?
I mean, so it's really difficult. I think it's important that these companies are challenged, because ultimately, if you just give them free rein to kind of set the rules and to choose where and how to follow them, then you are getting to a point where they are not... The phrase is always too big to fail, but it's almost kind of too big to take on when you are talking about the European Commission versus Google and who's got the best lawyers and who's ultimately going to dictate what the playing field's going to look like and how even it's going to be. So I think it's an important battle, and in a world where it feels like the European regulators are the only ones big enough and willing to challenge these companies, I think it's really important. But ultimately, I think the rules are only going to tweak. They're not going to draw. I don't think we're going to see dramatic changes. And yes, the lawyers are going to do extremely well out of this, and the courts are going to be very busy. But I do think it's people are crying out for more regulation. People are crying out for the regulators to do more because this landscape has evolved so rapidly, and these companies have grown so quickly that action is completely necessary. But then we look at other areas where where Europe and others have taken a stance and tried to modernise their response to this growing industry, things like data protection and everything. Europe very much at the forefront of that. And I think consumers will broadly agree that, yes, this makes life more challenging for companies and it makes it more challenging for the tech firms, but ultimately it does come with the idea of protecting the consumer, and I think people are broadly happy with this. But this is going to be a rapidly evolving landscape, and the regulators need to stay ahead. And these type of court cases, which are going to last years, which are going to be challenged, where lawyers are going to make a lot of money, are completely necessary part of the process, unfortunately.
Craig Earlham, thank you very much indeed.
The Business Breakfast on Jazz FM with Oanda. Online trading, currency data, money transfers.